Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
He's good. There are not enough days to say the glory of our God. There's not enough time in the day to say how good our God is. I've got 54,000 days to worship my God on average. I'm halfway through. But I'm above average. By reason of strength. Whoa, yeah, we're strong, all right. Glory to God, that was fun. Nothing like having fun in the house, is there? Man, God is good. Whew. Suppose I should grab a Bible. Almost a mute point, really. Mute point, I should say. Not mute. Oh, man, God is good. Man, you know, I love this book. This is the Word of God. This is God's revelation to men. And, you know, I think if you're talking to a new Christian, I think where a lot of people go wrong is that they start the book in Genesis. Oops. By the time they get to Numbers, they begot, 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 who begot, 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 because they begot, 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 I forgot, I forgot, I forgot. By the time they get there, they're thinking, what have I got myself into? They get to Exodus 20 and they start reading the Ten Commandments. Oh, that's how I should live. Oops, wrong testament, guys. If you're talking to a new Christian, telling somebody who's not a Christian, do not tell them to start in Genesis. I hear so many people say, oh, I need to start the book at the beginning. It ain't the beginning for us. Give them the book of John. The best thing you could do would be to give them the Gospel of John. It's got it all. It's the whole point of the Gospel is in John. You could give them the book of John and the book of Acts. That's it. They don't need no more, really. It's got everything in it. Everything you need for life, godliness, and walking your walk in God. That's it. The rest of it is cream. It's nice to have. Well, I'm going to continue my theme that I've been on for the last couple of times I've preached on changing our thinking. And, of course, last time I spoke about changing your thinking, I talked about the Old Testament versus the New Testament. I've just briefly talked about that then, sort of. But, you know, there's a change, you know, like what Megan was saying about the knowledge of God. No more will every man teach his neighbour, because all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, and I shall be their God. The knowledge of God. There's something that gets put on the inside of us, of the knowledge of something that's bigger than us. And the world doesn't get it. It doesn't make sense to them. It's illogical. It's even ridiculously stupid to them. It does not make sense. It does not equate at all to them. I might as well be speaking Swahili as speaking English to a non-Christian, because they don't understand it. It doesn't make sense until something comes on the inside and becomes alive. And all of a sudden, the light goes on. I can remember being baptized in 1987, 24th of May. And I was baptized and I'd had a dream. And in the dream, I walked across this big rope bridge. You know, you've seen them all the movies. You know, you walk across the big rope bridge and there's the big alligators way down the bottom. And I'm thinking, I don't want to fall down there. In my dreams, it's clear as a bell. I walk across this rope bridge, get on the other side, and there's a marble bench. And there's four men sitting on the marble bench, and I'm the fifth person. and I sit down, and for some reason that I see things like that. I go, oh, there's four there. I'm the fifth person here. It's a bit weird. Why is there only five of us? That's what I was thinking. I sat down on the marble bench. Jesus appears in front of me and he says to all of us, who has the dirty sandals? Now, I've heard non-Christians tell me that they're really going to tell God what they think when they get to see him. I'm going to tell God what I really think. No, you're not. You're going to do exactly as you're told and you're going to fall on your face. Because I was completely ungodly, completely without God, completely in the occult, completely following after a completely other spirit, and I just freaked. I went, that's me. I'm out of here. And I knew exactly what he meant. He meant that I should be baptized. And that's how I ended up getting saved. I started to seek out a church where I might be able to be baptized. And the interesting thing about being baptized was the day I got baptized, I came out of the tank and I had this revelation. And the revelation was very simple. It was this. It's true. Jesus is real. He is coming back. What's written in the book is the truth. And it was just a revelation. Just a complete revelation. And that's the way God works in us. He changes our thinking. He changes those well-worn neurons. And he starts to make the change. We don't change overnight. We don't change overnight. But we do change. I worked in a place that was completely ungodly. The people were thieves, robbers. They'd kill you if you did the wrong thing by them, sort of thing. How I never end up in a little shallow grave in the back, I'll never know. But these people saw something change in me. They saw it. It was something quite physical from their perspective. I didn't change, I didn't think. I wasn't glowing, I didn't think. I walked in one day and there was a man there, his name was Larry, and he was a bit of a crook, to say the least. He walks up to me with a bag of chips. And of course, anyone hands you a bag of chips, you immediately put your hand in, don't you? I want some chippies. Chippy, chippy, chippies. I put my hand in the chips and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, frightened the crap out of me, and said, do not take that. Do not take it. I pulled my hand out like this. Like that. And he says, that spirit told you that. Sometimes we're working in spirit realms we don't even know we're working in. Holy Spirit spoke to me. He had stolen those chips. He had stolen them, and if I had partaked of the chips, he could have then just said, I was just one of them. Yeah? Our testimony is important, and God does all he can to keep our testimony clean and pure. Not because he needs us to be right or to any of those things, but there's just something, you know, be holy as our God is holy. There's just something in that. I don't know. It's not what I'm talking about today, but anyway, we'll talk about changing your thinking. If you've got your Bibles open with me to Romans 12 and verse 2. James, you can throw that up for me if you would. That would be awesome. Now, I see we're having some technical issues this morning. So I noticed the words didn't come up as they should, but that's not because of James. That's because the stupid machine was doing stupid things. I know, because I've had it happen to me. Push the button and you're pushing the button and you're pushing the button and it's not coming up. And everyone's looking at you. And you're like, I pushed the button. It's not working. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wow. I don't know about you, but I sometimes go to God, what the heck are you doing? I had no idea half the time. But by faith we follow. By faith. I've got a house I've been building for nearly 3 years. It's not even on the horizon. Not even on the horizon. And I keep saying to God, what's going on? God keeps saying, I'm blessing you. Don't feel like that. Don't feel like that. But if that's what he says, that's the truth. Renewing of our minds. Most of us are like the rest of us. And I'm like the rest of you. I struggle with my thinking. I struggle with my thoughts. I struggle with self-doubt. I struggle with thinking that I'm worth a pinch of salt. I struggle with that. I struggle with my own self-talk that keeps saying, you're really no good, you know, you're no good. You know, it's never going to work out for you. You know, it's all going to go to poop. I'm going to take hold of that thought and say, stop it. Sometimes I've got to speak to my soul. Psalm 103, verse 1-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases and forgives all your sins. So what do I do when I want to transform my mind? I look back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about me? You're more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think Megan's household's getting a bit nervous. Megan's turning into that lion that she was prophesied over her a number of years ago. It's coming out.
That was a bit timid, I thought.
Yeah. Radical. God loves radical people. He does. You only got to look at 12 people, they turn the world upside down. You get somebody like Megan, she could turn the whole of Central Coast upside down. It's the truth. Why? By the transforming of your mind, by the renewing in the Word of God, transforming it. We all struggle with self-doubt and those things, but those things, we must capture the thought. Turn with me up. Proverbs 23, verse 7. I just want to quickly say this, just as an aside. Proverbs 23, verse 7 is often quoted as a man thinks, therefore he is. Yeah? Well, look, that comes out of the KJV, and it's really poorly translated. It's as simple as that. The KJV isn't a very good translation. It's just not. Particularly when it comes to our modern English. If you read that passage in the NIV, for an example, you'll get it. If you read it in the KJV, you'll go, what? It wasn't written for the understanding of modern English. Now, English has changed a little bit since 1708. Anyone noticed? How art thou? Thou art well. I am betwixt between the two, but it is a superfluity of naughtiness of the world. Like, come on. But I read mostly KJV all my young life, and I've got KJV in the brain. So if I want to go look for a scripture, I go look it up. And then I've got to go and check it in the NIV and see how accurate it is. So I went looking for, as a man thinks, therefore he is. And then I went and looked up NIV and went, oh, that actually is not saying that. It doesn't actually say the context of the way we put it. It really means if you go to a person who's begrudging's house and they offer you food and they're a begrudging host, and they give you a meal and say, yeah, eat up, eat up, eat up. They're thinking dollars, dollars, dollars. That's costing me. They'll be upset for every mouthful you chew. That's what it's saying. That's what it's talking about, begrudging hosts. And, of course, that's not what we want to talk about today. So, but I did want to actually just reference that scripture and just let you know that, you know, if you're reading the KJV or the even the New King James Version, which has been rectified a lot, they've done a lot of work in the KJV, the New King James. But the NIV is certainly, if you just want English, good English reading, NIV. Okay. But it is still true that our thinking controls the world in which we live, and especially how we see that world. Can I have my first slide, please, James? Pretty? Oh, pretty. Pretty. Who can tell me what that is?
Something in your brain.
Something in your brain? Yeah. A neuron? A stellar? Yep. Okay, you're both right. You're both right. The one on the left is your brain, is a neuron in your brain. The one on the right is the universe as we know it. Yeah, wow.
That's my brain.
That's your brain's out in the universe. Megan's in the universe. I looked at that and went, wow. Actually, you've put up the other one. Yeah, that's good. We didn't put that up first, did we? No, I hope not.
No,
that's good. So, yeah, so isn't that amazing? I just think that's incredible. Inside of our brains is something that's mapped out like the universe. They don't get it. It doesn't make sense to them. They go, why is it like that? I know why it's like that. Because God's trying to prove a point. I love it. I just think, yep, yep. Just like God. Just like God to do something like that. Our neurons, scientists and psychologists now know that the way you think changes your brain chemistry, either to the positive or to the negative. Now, if we allow constant negative thoughts to prevail, we might actually eventually need medical assistance to bring balance back to the brain. And it can be done, but it's a lot of work. But the problem with that is that they don't often treat the root cause of that. Low self-esteem keeps speaking negative thoughts, keeps reinforcing those neurons that are wrong. The Word of God tells it as it is, says the truth. You are more than a conqueror. Greater is He that is in you than He is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and no tongue that rises, and whatever the next line is. Yes. What scripture do you use? Anyone else got a scripture they use to encourage themselves?
I actually call myself a diamond. Every time negative thoughts come in, I go, I'm not part of the world because I'm a diamond, so I don't fit in the world.
That's great. I'm a diamond. I am the apple of His eye.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyone else?
I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me.
That's a good one. No longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Yes. Yes. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, to live is, what is it again? To live is Christ and to die is gain, the Apostle Paul. Any others? I'm the head but not the tail. Oh, yeah, I love that scripture. Joshua, love that. Oh, yes. Any more? Any more? Any more?
There's always
Oh, yes. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overfloweth. Psalm 133. I love it. Oh, 23. I was close. Missed it by that much. Isn't it good? Just the Word of God. The Word of God is in you. The Bible says. The Word of God is in you to do the will and the good will of God. Keep the Word of God close in your mind. It doesn't matter whether they went and burned every book. It's in us. It's in us. They may take my house. They may take our lands. But they cannot take my freedom. The only line I know from the movie. 3 hours of, long movie. But isn't it Braveheart? That's right, Braveheart. But the Word of God, it just changes your thinking. It renews our mind. It does something on the inside of us. And every time we get that negative thought, grab hold of it. Yes. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. There's another great piece of scripture. It's an encouragement to us. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, it doesn't say, and we take captive every occasional thought, every now and again. You and I are constantly speaking to ourselves, always. Something like 50,000 words a day we speak to ourselves. Now, we speak out of that about 7,000 words, the average person. I speak probably about 20, but anyway, that's just me. 20,000 words, I mean. I speak more than the average. But it's our self-talk that we've really got to get a handle on. That's the truth. And so we've got to get a hold of that self-talk and start speaking the truth over ourselves, not the lies that we kept being fed. The truth is that the enemy will come in first by your thoughts. There's a scripture somewhere that says something, every evil act is begun in a thought. And basically, that's the truth of it. We've got to keep our thoughts captive. We've got to make sure that those thoughts stay centered on Christ. Turn back with me to Romans 12, and we'll just read that from 1 through to 3. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with faith God has distributed to each of you. Now, we've all met those people, those kind of folk that I wonder how they're going to get through the door because their head is just so huge. We've all met those kind of people. Diane's ex-boyfriend. It's been taped, I know. But her ex-boyfriend, oh my goodness. He had an ego that, I tell you, it was unbelievable. He would walk into a room and he'd put up his muscles like this and kiss himself. True story. True story. He was standing around a group of guys who were all in youth together, standing around these groups, telling us how tough he was. He was all of this big. I'm a first degree black belt, and I'm looking at him thinking, yeah, probably not so much. And it was just hilarious. But sometimes we get too much of ourselves in ourselves. And it's a healthy thing to love yourself. You should love yourself. You should care for yourself. You should know that you are of value. Because when you say you're not, you're saying that there's something wrong with God. And there's nothing wrong with God. God is perfect and he is in you. His Holy Spirit is in you. That makes you perfect as far as he is concerned. Now, that's not to say that we walk around with this big head and we think that we're the best thing since sliced bread. I know that I am, but you know. So it's in balance, isn't it? So we don't want to think too highly of ourselves, but we also don't want to think negatively of ourselves. Because ultimately we want to be in balance. And we want to be in balance so that we can be of help to ourselves and to others. I remember praying for this person once. I was out at Cowra. I was doing an outreach out there, and we had all the town come. And this lady and a fella showed up, and I was praying for him, and he wanted to be prayed for because his kidneys were going, and he was in a really bad way. And I said, the Holy Spirit just said he doesn't drink no water. I went, what? Can't be right. I said, do you drink much water? Well, I never drink that stuff, he said. Well, what do you live on? Oh, beer. And what? Oh, tea. Tea and beer. Okay, that's probably not a healthy bit for your kidneys. If you love yourself, you will do what's right for your body. Simple things. Drink water. It's healthy. It's good for you. If you don't like the taste of it, filter it. And there's sometimes just simple things that make all the difference in our lives. Eat healthy. Has anyone seen Size Me Up? Yeah, anyone see that? A guy, he did a documentary, it was called Size Me Up, and he went to McDonald's every day. He had breakfast, lunch and tea, I think, at McDonald's, wasn't it? And then if they said to him, can we size you up, he had to say yes. He did it for a month, and he was going to the doctor every day, and they were testing him. And after a month, the doctor said, if you don't stop doing what you're doing, you're going to die. It is going to kill you. He blew up. He was really unhealthy. He ended up with type 2 diabetes. A whole range of stuff happened. And that's not to say that Macca's is the devil. It's not. But in moderation. You know, in moderation. And so it was a demonstration of just eating the right things. Makes all the difference. And when God starts to renew your mind, he starts talking to you about things like, and you'll hear it, God will say, you should get up and go and do some exercise. How about you go and walk the dog? But of course, that's not God, that's just us, isn't it? You know, and then God says, you should get up and you should do some exercise. And he says that for 10 years, and the next thing you end up with some disease, and you say, but God, why did I end up with this disease? It's like the guy, it reminds me of the guy that was in a flood. He's in this flood, he's on the top of his house, sitting on the top of his house, and he's going, God, save me, save me, save me. And this canoe comes past, and the guy says, quick, jump into the canoe. He says, no, I've prayed, God's going to save me. The guy takes off. Next thing, a speedboat comes along in front of me. Jump in, mate. Now I've prayed. God's going to save me. A couple of hours later, it's lapping the top of the roof. A helicopter comes past. They drop down a ladder and they say, jump in, mate, jump in. He said, no, I've asked God to save me. Anyway, so he drowns. He gets to heaven and he goes, God, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for you to save me. He says, mate, I sent you a canoe, a speedboat and a helicopter. That's the truth. God's always speaking to us. He's always telling us. He's always trying to renew our minds. He's always trying to say to us, do a little exercise. Eat well. Drink the proper things. Don't overindulge. Control yourself. God's not a party pooper. God's not a party pooper. He's not into that. But God is into us having good health. And he is into, and he doesn't just mean health in our spirit. Oh, God's all about the spirit. Yeah, he is, but your spirit's not much good if you're sick in a hospital and you can't move nowhere because you've treated your body with disrespect. What does the word of God say? You are the temple of the... Therefore, treat it with respect. All of these things are important to us. Renew your mind, renew your spirit, renew your body. It's important. Who knows that it is way easier to put it on weight-wise than it is to get it off? And it seems to cost a lot more to get it off than it does to put it on. But that's just the way it is. And so when God talks about discipline yourself, and he talks about it over and over and over again, discipline your body. Discipline yourself. He's not saying that because he's trying to spoil your fun. He's saying that because he wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to be able to have a fantastic life. And you can do that. That's not to say you won't get some other disease, you know. A friend of mine who lives near us got the same cancer that I had a number of years ago. And he's now got 3 months, I think, 3 months to live. What the difference was? I had the niggle and I went off and had it checked. They removed the cancer early. I'm in remission. I'm all good. You know, if you got a niggle, go and see the doctor. Wander off. They might get it wrong, but they might get it right. You know, sensible stuff. You know, and we, you know, in church we are about the spiritual. We love the Holy Ghost. We love him. We love your presence, God. We do, but we're also living in this body. And we need to make sure that we're doing the right thing by it. We've got to renew our thinking. Change your thinking. You know, Paul says, bodily exercise profits a little. Yeah, but it is a little. Now, you've got to understand, from Paul's perspective, they walked everywhere. They fished. They worked hard. They ploughed fields. They were doing their exercise every day. I sit on my butt doing a computer all day. The only thing to get exercise for me is my fingertips and my brain occasionally. We don't live in that world. So we have to make a change. We need to change our thinking. We need to change the way in which we think. And we can't make excuse. Too many folk tend to make an excuse. Oh, look, I'm just overweight because, you know, I've got big bones. Yep, 160 kilos worth of big bones. It's not true. It's not. You know, we overindulge and we don't do the discipline we need to do to deal with the extra kilos that we put on at Christmas, Easter and birthdays and, you know, anniversaries and every other opportunity we can get. You know what I mean? So we do need to take care of ourselves. It is important. Now, why is that important? Why am I saying all this? I'm saying this for this one reason. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. There's no greater truth than this. Although a wise man's wisdom may save the city, no one will take his advice because of his poverty. It's one of the Proverbs. It's the truth. So a poor person comes to you and says, the city's being besieged, this is how you fix it. You'd go, yeah, right. You've done well in your life, we'll believe you. There's a truth in that, isn't it? Just a truth in that. If I was a multi-millionaire and I said, okay, I've got $100 million. So I say, it would be nice, wouldn't it? So I've got $100 million, Dave. And I said, look, go and buy this share tomorrow. You're all going to go and buy that chair, aren't you? No. That's called insider trading. No. I won't go there. But you would believe me. But if I'm living in a house with my parents and I haven't got a brass rass who in the bank, and I come up and say, I've got this sure thing. I've got a sure thing here. You're thinking, yeah, well, I'm sure it's a sure thing. Not. So there does need to be a match-up between how we are living, what we are saying, and does that make sense? Yeah? There does need to be a match-up. So if you're sick, constantly ill, for whatever purpose, whatever reason, and you go up to someone and say, I'm going to pray for you that God will heal you. Is that going to generate much faith? They may pray for you and heal you, by the way, because God works funny like that. You're a bit funny like that. But the world doesn't know that. We do. But by and large, most people are going to go, maybe not. But if somebody who's healthy has kept their life healthy, they've made sure that they've kept themselves fit. VB comes up and says, I'm going to pray for you to be healed. He's a fit young man. He comes up, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you get healed. You're going to go, man, yeah, I probably will get healed. Pete comes up and says, I'm going to pray for you. He gives you a big hug first. You think, oh, I feel loved. He's going to pray for me. I'm going to get healed. Yeah? There does need to be a match-up between your testimony and what you're saying. It's a no-brainer, really. But it is a really hard thing to get through. But the reason I'm saying this is for this last scripture, and I'll finish here because we've gone over time this morning. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You are... Can you say it with me? Say, I am the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Good for nothing. Is it no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot? I want you to think about that just for a second. What is he talking about? He's talking about your flavor. What is your flavour? Is your flavour a good flavour? Is it a good aroma? When people are around you, do they feel excited? Do they feel encouraged? Do they feel uplifted? I mean excited in the right way. Some people over in that corner there making funny little comments. You know what I'm saying? What is your flavour? What flavour are you giving out to the world? That's what it's talking about. And it's saying that there's something of the knowledge of God in us. There's something of the power of God in us. And when you're talking to people, I work in a Christian organisation, and I've always got my ear to the ground to hear whether somebody's not feeling good or whatever, and I'm always ready to encourage them. The reason I have this message is because I'm always listening for what God might be saying in the weeks leading up. And Diane happened to say, God said to me the other day, you need to change your thinking. If you're listening for God, you'll hear him. And he'll tell you the direction to go. So I think that's an important thing. Change our thinking. Got to change our thinking. Let's not make excuses any longer. But let's say, yep, I need to change that bit of thinking. I need to change this bit of thinking. Yep, I'm good in this area reasonably. I'm not so good in this area. I might need to do some work here. Judge yourself that you be not judged, Paul says. Because judgment begins at the household of God. So if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. And it's really just saying, look, have a look at your life. Is it matching up? Am I a Christian Sunday only? Am I a Sunday-faced Christian? And the rest of the week, I'm living like the rest of the world lives. You can never tell what might come out of my mouth or what I might be doing. Have it match up. Change our thinking. And as your thinking changes, your lifestyle changes along with it. It's just as simple as that. That's why God is so intent on us changing our thinking. Am I healthy enough? Do I eat the right things? Do I drink enough water? Am I active enough? Should I be doing something for the kingdom of God that I feel I should be doing but I'm not doing it? Do I hear the voice of God but I just ignore it? Changing our thinking. Got to change our thinking. When you hear the voice of God, Mary got it. Mary, she just got it. There's just something about that young girl. She just got it. They're at the Feast of Cana. They go to this marriage. They run out of wine. They come to Mum. They go up to Mum and they say, "We've run out of wine." Why? Why did they go to her? I wonder about that. What made them think? Something of the Spirit of God spoke to that person and said, "Go and talk to this lady here. She might be able to help you." They walk up to Mary and say, "We've run out of wine." And Mary says, "See that dude over there? That's my son. Whatever he says, do that." So they walk over to his son and they say, "We've run out of wine." No, no, her mum. The mum goes, doesn't she? Mum goes and says to the son, and he said, "What have I got to do with you? It's not my time yet. Tell everyone before the time, Mum. It's not ready yet." Poor old mum. She copped it again. All the mums said, "Amen. Amen. We get it. We get it. Jesus did it too." And he says to them, "Go and fill up those wash hand bowls that everyone's just been washing their dirty feet in, their dirty hands in. Blech. Bring it to me." Brings it to him. He turns it into wine. But Mary knew something. Just when he says it, do it. And that works for us in the Spirit. When the Spirit says it, do it. That person there's got something wrong with them. You should go and ask and pray for them. You know what most of us do? "Ah, la, 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 la. I don't think so. Yeah, I'm not good enough." The thinking. Yeah? Or am I hearing right? Was that really God? Does it matter? Does it matter? Go and pray for them anyway. They'll feel blessed. I was walking down the street one day and this pregnant lady came out and I had been door knocking and this pregnant lady came out. She was pregnant. She was very, very pregnant. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Stop and bless this baby." I went, "Whoa, that's pretty full on." So I stopped and I said, "Oh, look, I know this might sound a bit strange." I said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "I really do feel that I want to bless your baby. I really do want to. I really feel that God wants to bless this child. Would you mind?" And I had a lady with me at the time and I said, oh, I took her hand and I put it on so it wouldn't be creepy. And that would be a bit creepy. A stranger putting their hand on her. So I prayed and I just prayed blessing over. And as I'm praying, I've just got my eyes closed. I'm praying. When I open up, she got tears running down her face. She's bawling her eyes out. And she goes, "Oh, that's just amazing." She said, "I can't believe somebody would just stop and pray for my baby." She said, "You know, I wasn't even going to have this baby. You know, blah, blah, blah." She opens up the whole story of her life, you know. And just because somebody was willing to stop and say, "Can I pray for you?" I bet you that lady's life was changed. And I reckon that blessing over that child will come to pass because God had his hand in it. So do what he says. Change your thinking. We are the salt of the earth. We are to bring flavour into our community. We are to bring a godly flavour into our workplace. We're to bring godly flavour into the church. You know, that's our job. That's what we're here to do. We're here to bless and to curse not. We're here to pray for our enemies. We're here to feed them. We're here to do what is good. That is our flavour. We are to be a generous, generous, generous people. Because that is the flavour of God. Changing our thinking is important. Verse 14. You are. Now I want you to say, I am the light of the world. Let's say it again. I am the light of the world. You are. You are the light of the world. Make a difference this week in somebody's life. Listen for the Holy Spirit. Change your thinking. What do I need to change, Lord, in my life that I might be a testimony to the power and knowledge of God? What do I need to change? Do I need to get fitter? Do I need to eat better? What do I need to do? How can I make a difference in one person's life? One person. Who can I pray for this week? It's what Dave was saying about being mindful about your brethren. Think about them. Who should I pray for this week? Oh, I'll pray for Dave and Faye. I'll pray for Cappy and Denise. I'll pray for, Maria and Rick. You know, there are people. There are people with needs. There are people who need you praying. There are people who need to know that you love them and care for them. Give them a ring. Hey, how you going? Haven't seen you at church for a couple of weeks. We really do miss you. Because we do. We do miss them when they're not here. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Be salt and be light in your week. Find somebody to pray for. Find somebody to bless. Whether that's time, money, it doesn't matter. But bless somebody this week. Be a blessing. And when they ask you the question, why do you seem so happy? Why are you so generous? Why were you willing to pray for me? And share your faith. And say, well, somebody was willing to pray for me once. Somebody was willing once to be generous to me. Many years ago, a man I used to take to church, and it was tough taking him to church because he stunk. Oh, my Lord. It was horrific. I would literally have to clean out the car after I had him in the car, spray it out, the whole works. And one day I was speaking to one of the leaders in a church and I was a little bit miffed at this. And I said to the leader, I said, man, that's so annoying when I got to take such and such to church. The car stinks after he gets out. And he says, well, Ken lived on the street most of his life after he saw his wife murdered in front of his eyes. He lost the plot and he lived on the street until we reached out to him and brought him to church. He said he can't get to church unless you bring him. It was slack of me, wasn't it? You know, like, when I heard that, I thought, wow. God's using me to help somebody. And that might not be all your experience. You might help whoever, but you're helping somebody. And that makes a huge difference to God. And it means a huge thing to the church and to the body of believers. Isn't that funny how your thought transports you back to a thing? I was a blubbering mess on that morning. But I brought him to church every week. He'd sit up the front with his alarm clock. True story. Set for 40 minutes. As the preach started, he'd set the alarm. At 40 minutes, the alarm would go off. Ring! Every Sunday. So if they went over 40 minutes, they were in trouble. Oh, it was funny. It was hilarious. He'd be with the Lord now because he was older then. But do something for someone. It does make a difference. Whether it's just praying for somebody, just change your thinking. You know, I won't walk past that person and give them any dollars because they might spend it on drugs. Who cares? Give them the money. Let God deal with it. You know, let him deal with that stuff. Or go to them with a meal voucher and say, I've got a $20 meal voucher here. You can go and get a meal wherever you like, whenever you like. Here it is. You know what I mean? It's the little things. Do them in secret. Don't tell anyone that you're doing them. Because when you do stuff in secret, God openly blesses you. You don't need to tell anyone. I need to tell anyone, oh, wow, today I fed 5 people on the street this week. You know what I'm saying? Only 5. Pete said, only 5? I did 10 this week. Somebody else said, 10? Man, I did 20 this week. Wouldn't that be a good thing to do in church? That would be funny. And somebody, I fed 100 people this week. That's awesome. Oh, Holy Ghost is moving. Oh, God is good. God is good. Be good as your God is good. Change your thinking. Match up your spirit and your testimony with your words. Live a life worth living. There's lots of people to help. There's plenty to do. We're not bored. Oh, it's getting hot in here. Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for a change in our thinking. We thank you for a change in our spirit. We thank you for a change in our minds. We thank you for a change, Father, in the whole Central Coast. Father, we continue to pray for the Central Coast, that it might be a place of your blessing and a place of your righteousness and a place of your goodness. Lord God, we pray for those who are living on the street that you would bless them, Father God, that you would send people to them to pick them up from the side of the street and to bring them, Father, into your kingdom, Father God, warts and all, Father. We pray, Lord God, for those places. We pray for the Glen, Father, that's out there helping people. We pray for the Father's Table out there helping people. We pray for the Salvation Army out there helping people. Father, we pray for all of those of the Kingdom of God out there doing good for your name's sake, that you might be glorified. Father, we pray for Central Life Church, that we would be a place that would bless people, that we would be a place that doesn't navel gaze, but we're a place that looks outwards and we're looking out to our community. And that we look out and we see that the harvest is ripe, that we see that the buds are blossoming on the trees, and we're ready to go and pluck some of those buds and to bring them into your house, Father God, that we might see new fruit in our house, in this church, Father God, that there might be people, abundance, people just stacked out the doors, Lord God. People who are hungry for your spirit. People are hungry for your presence. People that are hungry for a change in their life, Father God. May we be that change. May we be your arms reaching out May we be your feet going out into the community. May we be your eyes that see and your ears that hear the plight of people. May we be a praying people. Might we hear the voice of your Spirit saying, pray for this person, pray for that person. And then let our prayers be effective, Father God. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. So, Father, we pray for all of those that are sick among us, that you would heal them, that you would strengthen their mortal bodies, that you would strengthen them and empower them, that you would teach them the things they need to know so that they might be strong in their body. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless your church and have an awesome week, and bless somebody this week.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.